Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Oh, what a weekend! Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America. Tonight we have a horse that's actually vying for the Triple Crown. Yeah, I know. Since 1978, and the firm did it, we've had 13 horses. This will become the 14th horse that will try American Pharoah after winning the Preakness. Plus, we're going to talk to, in our weekly re-rack in this hour, a woman who grew up in Jordan, came to the United States, and talks about the way of life in Jordan and how empowered she feels in trying to help other women, Middle Eastern women especially, as she came to the United States, and the amazing things that happened to her in the U.S. and how she pushes that on. And then there was this terrible thing that happened in Waco, Texas, where bikers gathered and then exploded into a hailfire of bullets with too many people dead and lots of confusion at a local eatery. In fact, it was so, the second it started to happen, everywhere you looked, that's all you could see. Meaning, if you were on Twitter, if you were driving around in a car and you had this radio station on, you probably heard the story. Absolutely crazy. The Waco police are saying they knew trouble was coming and it could have been avoided. Here's Sergeant Patrick Swanton right from the top talking about everything that happened leading up to this and then what they saw and now the bodies and the aftermath. Take a listen.
I can confirm that we still have 8 dead here on scene. One additional has died at the hospital for a total of 9. Those numbers may rise. I told you earlier we had at least 16 that were transported to the hospital. Many of those had gunshot wounds and stab wounds. I wanted to come back to you to give you a little idea of what's going on at the crime scene at this point. I asked him to give me a walkthrough and let me see what actually occurred so I can come relay that to y'all. I will tell you that in 34 years of law enforcement, this is the worst crime scene, the most violent crime scene that I have ever been involved in. There are dead people still there. There is blood everywhere. I will tell you that we have recovered numerous weapons. We will probably approach the number of 100 weapons that were recovered from individuals here at this biker fight, if you will. I'll go over again basically what happened and then try to give you a little detail about what that crime scene looks like. Shortly after 12:15, a fight broke out inside Twin Peaks. We had officers here on the scene. We were extremely fortunate to have our best, most well-trained officers here, and that was our tactical unit. They were here for the specific reason of we knew there was going to be trouble at this biker event. We had been made aware that they were coming and that they had been here previously. We have attempted to work with the local management of Twin Peaks to no avail. They have continued to allow these bikers to gather here, and this is the culmination of what has occurred. Somebody asked me earlier if I was frustrated about that. Absolutely, because what happened here today could have been avoided if we'd had management at a local establishment listen to their police department and assist us. They failed to do that, and this is the event of what happened.
Wow. So now, officially, 9 people dead. This happened, as you heard the sergeant, in the afternoon on Sunday at an establishment where lots of people go, and they knew that this gang was gathering, and it just erupted gunfire between rival bike gangs. Absolutely crazy chaos in Waco. A brawl, a shootout, cops all over the place. People and kids that were standing outside, I think, in shock at this Twin Peaks restaurant and what was surrounding that restaurant. There were some other ones some other restaurants there, so there's lots of people. What happened was the gangs were going to meet to discuss all these differences when the fistfight broke out, and then it escalated. There was knives and guns. There was actually over 100 guns that were recovered, but hundreds of gang members, so there was lots of them, and a small number of other people in the restaurant. You heard what Swanton had to say. It was the most gruesome crime scene that he saw in 34 years of being in law enforcement, and he said he was amazed that no innocent people were killed or injured, and I'm amazed at that, too, because there were definitely some of those people there. And you just saw dozens of motorcycles that were parked in a lot. I mean, some of these bikes of these people were killed, and there were jackets on the ground. There was blood all over the place. Police were standing a few feet away from one group, and then there were other people wearing biker jackets who were standing or sitting. And it's a nightmare as they're trying to sort it out. They know the basic details of what I just told you, that this was rival gangs. It escalated, and that was that. It just erupted. So I guess they say the management wanted them there, so they didn't, you know, they couldn't say, you can't come here, because they knew the gangs were going there to meet, and then look what happens. Oh, and there were families, as I heard from somebody, that were cowering on the ground. They were walking out into the parking lot. They heard the gunshots, and then they saw people that were wounded that were being taken away from the restaurant. So they just crouched down in front of trucks, laid on their bellies, that kind of thing. Like I said, there were other restaurants around this restaurant. So it took about, you know, this, so you know, Waco, Texas is about an hour and a half outside of Dallas. And they knew that these conflicts were pretty serious between these gangs. And isn't it interesting? We know they were going to meet there. We didn't want this to happen. And then look what happened. Probably even worse than they could have imagined, I suppose. So when anybody thinks that some of these biker gangs aren't gangs, some of them are gangs. I mean, and this just shows you. Crazy, crazy stuff. All right, that's not the only crazy thing that happened over the weekend of this biker incident. It wasn't the only thing. Unfortunately, sad tale to report of a helicopter crash in Hawaii. 21 people hurt on the ground as a result of this marine helicopter crash. And so, what are the first questions you're asking yourself? Well, how did that happen? On the scene, they're still trying to piece a lot of it together and figure out what was it that caused the chopper to come down. And unfortunately, comes down with that many people, I mean, just boom, right there, where that many people were caught in, you know, in the wrong place when it came down. You know, it's interesting if you've ever been on a helicopter, and I've been on a few helicopters. I don't know, when you're up in a helicopter versus a plane, of course it is a very different feeling. This was a marine helicopter, so it's a lot bigger than, I'll just say, your average chopper that you might be getting a joyride in, or you might know somebody that has one, and, you know, it's like the traffic helicopter, you know, a little bit different. This was a really, really big chopper that went down. We got more details on that, plus some other things as well. Hang with us, Odds and Ends coming up on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joe Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
Well, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning blue ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby.
America and beyond our borders. I mentioned that helicopter crash in Hawaii. We actually have the answer to the helicopter crash in Nepal, too, by the way. But in this Hawaii crash, one Marine was killed. 21 other people were hospitalized. We're talking about an Osprey helicopter. Just a hard landing in Hawaii where you just saw smoke everywhere. Somebody I know happened to be in Hawaii and sent me some of the, I think they got it from somebody else, but sent me a link to what the pictures look like. And, you know, this was an expedition unit where they can take off and land a helicopter, but it has wings to fly sort of like an airplane, as it was explained to me. And this happened in the day. This happened right before noon. And the conditions of the injured Marines, they're not really given a lot of details about this, but what's crazy is they say it's just a routine sustainment training. That's it, at Bellows in Oahu. So they were just doing what they normally do, right? And this expeditionary unit is based at Camp Pendleton in Cali. And they had left on May 10th. It was a seven-month deployment thing. So unfortunately, they were doing these, you know, maneuvers. And people that were hiking and stuff could see that, oh, yeah, they're maneuvering. Or you can tell when the helicopter's doing something, right? But then all of a sudden, people saw smoke, saw dirt kick up, and they didn't hear a crash, some of them, because they were further away. But the way it was described, it looked like a maneuver or formation or whatever gone awry. And sure enough, that's exactly what it was. Now, the Osprey program was almost scrapped, remember? I know we talked about this on America Tonight because they had mechanical failures and two test crashes in back, if you go back to 2000, that killed 23 Marines. And these are the helicopters they use all over Iraq, Afghanistan. They help with the earthquake relief. So, unfortunately, not too many details on what it was that brought it down, but a sad tale for sure, because the conditions of the Marines, one for sure is killed. This was technically just standard operating procedure, things that they always did. And we know this, and often it's not talked about, but even these training exercises can be deadly for the Marines or in any branch of the service. We don't hear about it, like I said, as much, but it does absolutely happen. Now, there was another helicopter, remember, the one that was missing. And that helicopter, because they were doing the rescue efforts, which in Nepal, still horrendous there, of course it is, because you had back-to-back earthquakes within 2 weeks even. Well, eight bodies were found at the site where the helicopter crashed. This was strictly a relief thing. They finally announced this over the weekend that the Huey helicopter was found in a very rugged area with parts scattered around at about 11,000 feet. The Nepalese army, I think, found the helicopter. I'm glad they found the helicopter because this had been missing for way too long. You had six Marines, two Nepali service members when it crashed, when it went reported missing. And the cause of the crash, unknown. They don't know what it was. But they found it, at least. And they say that, you know, this investigation, of course, with everything else going on, is going to take weeks or, I bet, months. And they're going to remove the bodies from the site. That's what they did over the weekend. They were trying to do that and try to identify the people that were on the flight so that their families know. And they're able to bring them back to the U.S. and they're able to honor them however it is they want to honor them. And so some of those names, it's all starting to trickle out at this point, right? Unfortunately. And even some of the families are talking about it. But, the missing helicopter at least was located. And I thought they were going to find it, but it just seemed like it took forever. So you knew it was somewhere pretty remote. And sure enough, it was. They had searches air, foot. I mean, just treacherous areas. And they were able to find it. 8 miles north of Charakut is the name of the place they found it. So four para rescue men, one combat rescue guy on the ground, and they're doing that whole assessment thing at this point. And especially because you're talking about Nepal, and I mean, the thing is, they were doing the humanitarian aid after the earthquake that happened on the 25th of April. And then there was another strong quake that hit Nepal Tuesday afternoon. Now, the area where it lost contact was near the epicenter of Tuesday's earthquake. So you can imagine, I'm thinking that's what happened. The earthquake brought it down. That's how that accident happened. The death toll now from the two earthquakes, by the way, over 8,400. 8,400. Now, the last one, most of that was from the first earthquake, though. The last one, officially, 117 people. How many people also are injured? 6,200 are still getting some sort of medical treatment. It could be minor, like bruises and cuts, but some of them were much more serious. And 1,700 people were injured in the second earthquake. Wow. I mean, no rest for anybody in Nepal. So rough to have those back-to-back quakes. I mean, the first one was the biggest and was the one that really took down a lot of people and took down a lot of buildings and just stunned everybody. But then to have the second one that was right on the heels of that one made it very, very, very tough. And just when you think or hear that ISIS is getting pounded in a few areas, then we see that ISIS has gotten control of a key city. They've pulled it back. They've pulled control back of Ramadi. The government had to pull out from there because they got caught in the crossfire. So, unfortunately, that was huge. They pulled out of a military base even on the west side of the city. And this came after they detonated a whole bunch of morning car bombs. So, because this is, they're kind of changing their tactics up. And in this fight, they figured they had strategically placed car bombs and they were hitting all these different areas. So the fight for Ramadi is not over, but it's over right now. It's over because ISIS has control at this point and they had nothing they could do but withdraw. And the fighting there has been over the top of any place probably on the map. Iraq's Sunni heartland, right? For however many months. And you have Iraq and the allied group fighting ISIS, trying to get control. And the reason is because, why even bring it up, is because, well, first of all, the whole ISIS thing, but it's a strategically located city, if you will, because it's so close to Baghdad. So this city falls, you are so close to Baghdad. You're like 70 miles from Baghdad. And it is the largest city in western Iraq. And it's very close to an Iraqi army headquarters. So, no, you don't want that. But if you have to pull out, 500 people have been killed in all these different firefights that have cropped up. And then you have all these civilians fleeing the city, trying to go into safer areas in Baghdad, some of them trapped. Picture this in your mind. People just, kids, women, whatever, trapped on a bridge outside of the city, and there's fighting all around them. It's like a video game that's sick and twisted, and it's for real. It's not a fantasy. It's really happening in front of their faces. And this is how they live. So ISIS took control. They took over the areas that they had lost, and now they have it under their wing at this point. So they got to send in many more reinforcements, and they got to really take that city. Just like the Shiite militia helped the Iraqi army grab up the city of Tikrit from ISIS in March. Their involvement has to be there, because as many bodies as they can seriously throw into this, then they can try to get Ramadi back. But, ISIS used bulldozers, did the whole thing with the bombs. They had 10 suicide bombs to burst through the gates and then the walls. Suicide bombs. And they used kids. Oh, terrible, terrible stuff. Stay with us. The Weekly Re-Rack coming up next here on ATN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams, been haunted by a million screams, but I can hear the marching feet, they're moving into the street. Now did you read the news today? They say the danger's gone away, but I can see the fire still light. They're burning into the night. There's too many men, too many people, making too many problems. And I'm not allowed to go around.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Big shout out to all of you in those nooks and crannies. Dee McGowey joins us. She's in our virtual green room right now. We spare no expense. I hope she can expand her mind in that direction. And you're going to love her because, I'll tell you, I met her in New York just about a month ago, and she has such a fascinating story. And when we're through with this interview, I want you to go check her TED Talk out because it'll just blow you away. She's such an inspiring speaker, and it's about empowerment. And she grew up in Jordan, and she talks about what that was like, and then coming to the United States, getting a degree in economics from San Diego State. Oh, San Diego State, is that a great place? And then she got an MBA, too, as well, at the University of San Diego. And we're going to talk about what it's like, Middle Eastern customs, specifically Jordan. And you know that we're thinking of taking the show to Turkey, so it should be pretty interesting education, I think, for a lot of us. Dima, as always, thanks so much for hanging with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for inviting me, Kate.
So let's go back to, I mentioned you did a TED Talk, and your TED Talk had a really good message in it. And people, you know, we live in a culture where we're a melting pot of so many different types of people with different backgrounds and upbringings in different parts of the world. And I mentioned this, that you grew up in Jordan. And when you were growing up in Jordan, what was expected of you ultimately as you grew into a young woman?
So there were a lot of things that were expected of me. One main thing that was very clear is the sense of perfection. I had to be perfect. I was not allowed to do any mistakes. I was supposed to be perfect in the way I talk, the way I dress, the way I walk. There was a lot of judgment of the culture that I lived in. And as a result, in order for my family to protect me, they were expecting for me to follow the tradition, be perfect. So one day I will grow up and pass the tradition also to somebody else or to my children.
Yeah, and you say protect you. Why? What do you mean by protect you? What if you defied that and didn't do the whole perfect thing you were supposed to do?
So the way I was raised, specifically in my family and my culture, as a woman, the first thing that I am being seen for is to get married. So from a young girl, I'm being prepared to get married. So if I am not perfect, they see it as that no man would want to marry me, and as a result, it's going to bring a shame and dishonor to my family. So when I mention about they are trying to protect me by teaching me to be perfect, by being perfect, I am able to be a young lady and be a quick catch where any man would want to marry me because I represent the culture and represent the expectations that the Middle Eastern man has.
Wow, and that's a lot to live up to, no doubt. And you said to me, and this is how we met, so everybody understands this. And when we were talking, that you, the way your eyes are, even for another woman or especially a man, you can could never. You grew up where one of the things a woman couldn't do is you couldn't look directly in someone's eyes, right?
Yes, I couldn't look in a man's eyes, and I couldn't smile. So those were two of the challenges. I had so many challenges and cultural shock when I moved to the U.S. Those were so hard because here people are used to having eye contact. It's actually not respectful for you to talk to somebody and not look at them in the eyes. So
yeah,
I had a lot of issues with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, we say that, I was just going to jump in there and say, you're right. We, in the United States, it's kind of a sign of somebody being shifty, that we don't think they're maybe necessarily telling us the truth when we're talking to them if they don't look you in the eye enough and there's not enough eye contact. So let's fast forward. What made you come to the United States and what was your family's reaction when you decided to come to the United States?
Okay. So I got engaged when I was 19, got married when I was 20, and moved with my ex-husband to the U.S. And this is how the whole story or the major transformation happened. I moved to San Diego with him, and we started our life there. It was interesting living in San Diego because here I am in the land of the free, the land that I've always dreamed of living in, but somehow I was still living in the U.S., in the Middle East somehow, because I was still surrounded by my culture. I was still surrounded by the same expectations. I thought when I first moved that things will be different, that somehow I'm going to be empowered. Somehow I'm going to be able to voice my opinion and have dreams and pursue these dreams just because I am located in the U.S. But I was so shocked to realize that regardless where I was, it didn't matter because I was still surrounded by the same culture. And at the same time, being away from the Middle East, the expectations and the restrictions became even harder and harder.
Wow. So then you just knew in your heart, right, that this wasn't the right life for you. At some point, you realized that, right?
It took a while. It took It took about 4 years and a half for me to realize this. I'm a person who gives a lot of chances. And initially when I first moved, I didn't know any better. I didn't know who I was. I didn't have self-confidence. I spoke not very well English. And it was very tough to go through that transformation. But as I got into my undergraduate and had my first job, that's when I started really observing everybody around me. And I was fascinated. I remember even one time walking to apply for San Diego State for my undergraduate. And I was watching the students that were there, and I just honestly just stopped and said to myself, I wish I'm just like them. Because they looked so confident. They looked happy. They seemed empowered. So now when I go back to school, I see just young students, and most likely they're confused about life and they don't know what they're doing. But somehow at that moment, they were my role models. All I wanted was to be like them, and all I wanted was to be like everybody I was surrounded with. So it was interesting, the whole transformation, where I started and where I am right now.
So where you are right now, one of the things you did when you first were working, and you know, you got divorced and that's sad and all that, but you knew it was the right thing for you, as so many of our listeners, we talk about that, men and women, mixed in with all our political talk and everything else that's going on. But you, once you knew that, you make the leap and you change your life. When you're working, Dima, you and I had this conversation, you said this too, that one of the things is you don't smile, you can't smile, so you don't look men in the eyes and you don't smile. And when you were at work, did people start to notice that you weren't smiling?
Yes. So my first job was a teller at Bank of America. So imagine going to Bank of America tomorrow and working with a teller who cannot look at your eyes because she's so uncomfortable, barely speaking English, and doesn't smile.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
oh.
That was me barely knowing how to do the transactions too. So what my boss did, which I love it, she used to bring sticky notes and draw on them happy faces and put them all over my monitor. And every time I would be doing a transaction, of course, I would see the sticky notes, but she would make sure she keeps going around the bank and looks at me and makes happy faces, so I would be just smiling and remembering that I need to smile when I'm in public. So it took a while, but now I just cannot stop smiling.
Oh, I love that. So the biggest, so you do the TED Talk and it pulls this whole thing together, and your family now compared to when you first made that break, what was that transition like? Because it's very hard to tell grandparents or family members, parents, that, yeah, I'm not going to go this route anymore. I'm doing something completely different. Did they rebel against that, kind of push back against that, and now they embrace it?
That was the hardest part. And when I think about the divorce, it wasn't really just the divorce of the marriage. It was the divorce of the entire family and culture. Because what happened is my decision was not well taken by my family, especially my dad. He considered that he would not allow his daughter to have the title next to her name, which is divorced. Because that's what people talk about in the Middle East. Oh, Dima, she's divorced. So that's automatically going to be linked to me. And he just couldn't take that. So what happened, it was the hardest thing, because he decided to kill me. Because he believes that getting a divorce is going to bring a dishonor to my family.
Right.
And he believes that blood clears any dishonor. And he decided as a result that he wanted to kill me. So I still have life threats. I haven't been to Jordan for 14 years. I haven't talked to my dad for 14 years. And I don't know how the story is going to end with him. But in my case, I have forgiveness for him. I have forgiveness for myself. And that by itself is enough for now.
Wow. Hang on a second. Dima, can you stick through with us?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to come back with more with Dima Gowie just a second from now on America Tonight.
And striving as fast as we can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left him with the cup. But he's striving and striving and hugging the turn and thinking of someone for whom.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience four full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times bestselling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
differences between somebody who grows up in the Middle East and coming to the United States, and how she was with a Jordanian husband and then decided to divorce him. And Dima, you mentioned that your father wanted to kill you because that brings dishonor to your family by doing that, and it's been 14 years and you haven't, am I right, you haven't had any contact with him, and you would be concerned about going back to Jordan, right?
Yes.
Wow. And how tough is that, though, for you? How frustrating.
It's very frustrating. It's very tough. It's, you know, the parents are very important to any person, regardless of the culture. That's the root. That's the support. They offer security and the foundation that help us to be who we're supposed to be. And taking that away, I just felt that I was just flying in the sky with no foundation. And really, my foundation, if any, was the one that's turning against me. So it was very difficult. Initially, and for years, it took me so long to go through a healing process. And part of the healing process is to go through self-discovery. It enabled me for the first time ever to question, who am I? Why am I on this earth? And what is the purpose behind it? So as sad as the story is, I know I was born for a reason. There's a purpose behind it. And not just for my healing. It is for me to take this story and inspire others and also work with them to help them break their limitations and discover what they are supposed to be doing in this life. Initially, I used to think that I'm the only one with issues with family or with self-confidence or various things that were stopping me and all the limitations, whether they're cultural or whether it is things that I impose on myself. Until I got in leadership roles, and then I discovered that I'm not the only one. There's so many people having issues. There's so many people living with limitations. A lot of these limitations are internal, where it's the voice in their head that's telling them that they're not good enough or they're not smart enough. And now I believe part of my role in this world is to show them by example that you can break it all. You can be the person you're supposed to be. You have a choice. And it could be very painful. It's going to come with a lot of consequences, especially when you're doing things that are outside the norm culturally. But looking back, it is so worth it. I look back now, it's been 14, almost 15 years, and I say to myself, like, if I only knew how great life is going to be, I would not have cried.
Wow. So now, because of the years and the time and the things that you've experienced, you're loving it. I mean, you're loving being in America, enjoying, like you said, that freedom, because you're really embracing it, right?
Right. And the main part that I love is how I can help others too. So this is where it brings a lot of healing to me. So again, it's not just about me. I achieved a lot in the last 14 years. I got into leadership roles, lived and traveled around the world, and there's a lot of things that I would never have imagined. I feel so happy where I am right now, but I think it's not about me. This story is about helping to heal. And I look at it mainly also to help heal women in the Middle East. It breaks my heart to think about or to hear about ISIS and what's going on right now in the Middle East. It's like beyond imagination. We're in year 2015 and we're still experiencing these things. So that's why I believe that this didn't happen out of the blue. There's something I'm supposed to be doing, and I am being prepared for it. So I'm very open, and I can't wait to contribute and help all kinds of women and men to have a better life.
Yeah, you bring up ISIS. Do you think there's a lot of women in the Middle East who would love to get out of that situation?
Yes. I know a lot. I'm still in communication with so many people in the Middle East. I still mentor a lot of women and also men. And the challenge is that they cannot move to the U.S. They cannot move outside their country, whether it's Syria or Jordan, and they just have to deal with the situation. And that's why in many cases when we say Be positive. Be happy. You have control over your life. And this is great when you're living like in the U.S. But when you're living in some other countries where you are forced to do things that you may not agree with, you're afraid about your security, you can't leave your home without watching every step, it becomes very, very difficult. And it doesn't really totally apply.
Yeah, I completely understand that in some of the conversations that I've had with some women in the Middle East. So then you take this to the TED Talk, and what was it like? Because a lot of people listening would love to maybe in their life do a TED Talk, but what was it like for you to get on the stage and actually do that? Were you a little bit nervous?
It was the most amazing and the most terrifying experience. So I'm very private, and I don't talk usually about my story unless if it is to very close friends. So when I started working on my TEDx and I was selected, I wanted to talk about everything in the world but my story. So I wrote 3 speeches before I wrote the last one, and it was mainly about my experience in global leadership and cultural understanding and everything totally not related to me. But somehow the speech kept transitioning, and I wasn't satisfied with them, even though they were great, they were approved by the TEDx organizers, but I just didn't feel connected with the message. I felt that I needed to give something stronger, until I got to a point where I started writing my story, and I was very terrified. Until the day of the event, I was questioning, do I really want to open up? What if people think it's not a big deal? What if I feel rejected? It's the same negative things we always think about. What if I mess up? And it's a lot of negative things. However, I have or had an amazing support network of friends who helped me step by step and kept encouraging me that I am on the right path and confirming that. I feel they even, like, almost dragged me to the stage to give the speech. And I am so glad I did. I had people that I never met before email me or send me messages on Facebook telling me that they were crying when they watched the TEDx story because they felt so connected with it. And the most thing that I was amazed with, that it wasn't just women in the Middle East. There were men in India and people from all around the world reaching out. And I felt for the first time, yes, I am on the right path. And I need to do more of those things to help connect with people and really, in a way, hold the mirror to them and show them you can do it too.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, and it has to be empowering to you, right? Because you get something, as you said, it's more than just about you. You get something in return, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Every time we give, you get something.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. So, Dima, if somebody wants to see your TED Talk, I think it's pretty easy to find it, but it's always good to lead people down the path. How can they find it?
What they need to do is go to YouTube and type my name, and it says the first name is D-I-M-A, and last name is G-H-A-W-I. And for anyone who watches it, I would love to hear what you think, and I would love to be connected with you.
Yeah, it's always good to get that feedback, absolutely, because we see that TED and TED is, you know, the TEDx and the TED Talks are getting bigger and bigger, and it's interesting what some of the subject matter is. There's, you know, no question about that. Dima, what a pleasure to have you on America tonight. Boy, we've really enjoyed it. We can't wait until you get that book out, by the way. We'll have you back on when you publish your story.
Sounds great. Yes, it's coming up. So the book is in the process of being written. I am the person who's going to write it. Initially, I thought, wow, I'm so busy and I'm traveling everywhere. Maybe I should bring somebody, a ghostwriter, to write it. But the decision is I am the person who's going to officially write it. And I started the process. I am planning to have it done by the end of the year.
Woohoo! All right, we'll look for that. Dima Gowie, thanks so much for coming on America tonight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Kate. Bye-bye.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.